Donnie, phone!
We'll just start that out.
No,
with
we'll have listeners.
What's your popular show?
It's our request show. We play requests between 6 and midnight.
Boss gags.
So anything anybody wants to hear, we'll play it.
Layla. Usually have a good audience.
They want me to begin.
Okay.
I don't know what to say to start the thing out. I never even thought about that. I just thought about asking questions.
Well, we've got him here now. What are we going to do?
Okay.
We could tell him who we have.
Okay. Well, welcome to the KCPR studios this evening. It's now 6 o'clock, I presume. With us tonight is a very special guest, a man who's been here once before and who came back at our own little request to have a special encore presentation at KCPR before his concerts tonight, Mr. Tim Weisberg. Good evening.
Yeah, it's good to be here. See, I told you I'd come back.
That's right, you did, as a matter of fact. The last thing you said is you were, I thought it was a threat, though.
Well, actually, it was.
Anyway, also around the table with us, KCPR's own general manager, Mr. Mark Reif, and KCPR's resident Tim Weisberg,
fan.
Pro champion, fan club president, whatever you want to call him.
Jim Allen.
Jim Allen, or Jim Zimmerlin, as he's known in the business. Anyway, get down to a few questions. Welcome back, first off. And do you have anything different planned for tonight than any different than the last concert you had here 2 years ago?
Yeah, I thought I'd play the flute tonight. And not tell jokes. Let's see, there is going to be something a little bit different. We're going to have two drummers this evening.
I noticed that. I was looking at the setup, and I was surprised. A lot of drums up there, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, right. Which should be kind of interesting. There's our drummer now, as a matter of fact, in the background.
Tim, there seems to be a lot of question about how to classify your music. What do you call it?
I really think that it's pop and rock-oriented. I mean, I really do. I have a classical background, so that's in there, too. But the rhythm section has always been rock and roll musicians and a couple of the guys are really from surf bands in the South Bay area in Manhattan Beach, the drummer and the guitar player. So that's what it is. That's
pop
the
rock.
Yeah, that's the music I grew up to. That's what my record collection is, and those are the concerts I've always gone to since my parents let me start going to concerts.
You just mentioned a classical background. Why don't you give us a little information on the background? How'd you get started playing the flute?
Junior high school, supply and demand. I got there 3 days late to the wind class, and all I had left were flutes because, you know, the guys went for the trumpets and the saxophone and clarinet, and so.
The flute's a lot lighter to carry.
That was the rap they laid on me, and it made it easier to run home from school with guys chasing, saying, "Hey, it's the flute player. Let's."
How'd you get started playing professional?
A lot of my friends played in rock and roll bands, and. I'd always go out and, you know, go to dances and parties and watch them play, and I never could get up and play with them, and it really bothered me to, you know, get up in front of a peer group and have them say, "Oh, God, we saw Tim play, you know, last weekend," and everything. So it bugged me, and I couldn't get them to come out and hear me play Mozart, and so I figured there was only one thing to do, and that was to start sitting in with those bands, and I enjoyed it so much that I drove everybody nuts asking to sit in, and once I'd, you know, exhausted all my friends... to sit in, I had to put my own group together so I could play enough. That's how it happened.
Now, do you write, or do you just play things that other people have written for you, or how do you work that out?
We all write in the group, and so the predominance of the material is original and generated out of the group. Now, initially, way back six years ago, I didn't think that we had enough material to sustain a complete album, and then that's why we did some Moody Blues tunes, some James Taylor tunes, only because I think the most important thing is to let the music be up. And if I didn't write it or somebody in the group didn't write it, but it still makes good musical sense, and it's better than something that we wrote, play the good music instead of just doing something your name's on. But I think we've grown a little bit as far as composers.
I noticed a lot of other artists seem to have your name on their albums as backup and helping them out. And I got on our efforts to contact you, you would help other artists out. How much time do you spend, you know, backing up other people as compared to with your own group, your own music?
Well, it's starting to grow a little bit now. I did things for Dave Mason, and I just played on Dan Fogelberg's new album, which is going to be great if you like Dan Fogelberg. This is the best. Oh, boy, did he write some tunes. And it just really varies. When I have some free time and when they ask me, you know, if I'll do it.
No, you also have friends up here, I know, at Warehouse Sound. And, like, you've been up here, I guess it's four times that I can recall. What is it about San Luis Obispo that just keeps you coming back? Is it just the people?
It's the people. It's really nice. I mean, the people are just really nice up here. I really enjoy them. Yeah. It's the reason I'd rather come here 20 times than go to New York once. And if you've ever been to New York, you'd understand.
Tell us about your live album. Was it your idea to do a live album, or was it some slick producer who said, we're going to make $1 million, and how has it turned out?
Let's see. I think basically it was my idea. We were finishing up our obligation to A&M Records, and I was negotiating with a lot of record companies, and it just seemed like it would be the right thing to do. I had a pretty good idea I wasn't going to be staying with A&M. And
where are you going to go?
I signed last July. I signed the day after we finished the live album with United Artists. And it just seemed like the right thing to do. The band was playing really, really well, and I think that we almost come off a little bit better when we play live. I'm a performer more than somebody who likes to record in a studio, and so that was the reason for it. The timing just seemed to be right. So it was an artistic consideration primarily.
But do you use vocals in any of your music at all?
I think on a couple of the earlier albums, we used just way in the background, just as if you would use just like a string section playing long notes, something like that. And maybe on this live album, Dan and I have been talking about maybe using just his voice. He knows how to really stack vocals really well, and a combination of flute and voice, but something that wouldn't be predominant and wouldn't be any lyrics involved. We're going to try as an experiment.
You've been talking about your group. Why don't you name who you've got in the group and what instruments are going to be there tonight?
Okay, let's see. We'll start with lead guitar, and that's Todd Robinson. And a Fender bass player is Doug Anderson.
Is this the same bass player that was here last time?
Oh, yeah.
Mean bass player. Yes. Very mean bass player.
Quick fingers. And he'll be playing acoustic guitar. In fact, both guys will on part of the show. And Ty Grimes is playing drums. And then we have a new addition that we're giving a try, and we really liked it at Berkeley the other evening, and it's Tom Doherty from Minneapolis, and he's playing drum set and working primarily as a percussionist. And there's one other member of the group, the charter member of the group, got an opportunity to go to Europe for 4 weeks, and I just told him he was nuts if he didn't do it. He was completely crazy, and that's Lynn Blessing, who plays all the keyboards. And so he's probably in Amsterdam at the moment, having a great time. And I'm sure that the next time we're up in San Luis, he'll be with us. But he and I have talked, because he's the first member of the group, about wanting to add percussion for a long, long time. And Tom seemed like somebody who would really be interesting to give it a try. And so without the keyboards, it gave a little more musical space for somebody new to see how well they can integrate in. And it's working great. When Lynn comes back, he's just going to freak, because it's going to be great. I mean, it really is nice.
You said before you were primarily a performer and indicated that you'd like to really do live. Don't you think it gives you a lot more freedom when you have 32 tracks and you can tape it over and over again in the studio? Doesn't that give your ultimate sound a lot better quality?
Yeah, but my imagination gets pushed a lot further when I'm in front of an audience. It really does. I don't know. I guess I just like that feedback, positive reinforcement.
An example of that, I think, could be the first encore you did at the concert you did 2 years ago, where you came out all by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And you just sat there with your reverberations.
Oh, that was nice. That
your echo chambers, and it was a very, very impressive experience. I know it was really the talk of the town for quite some time.
Oh, we may do it again tonight. It'll be different, though. It just depends what it feels like in the room. But my head will be in a completely different place. It's a different audience, and if it happens, it'll happen in a completely different way.
Getting back to your band again, you just mentioned the guys that are in it. Mm-hmm. How did they get together? How did you form? You said you just went out and formed a band. I'm sure it's not that easy.
No, it's kind of for me, it was just a period of trial and error. When I first started playing, I was playing fraternity parties at UCLA, USC, beer bus and bars and anything else. And when I'd get a gig, I'd call up the musicians I wanted to work with. And if they weren't working, I'd use them. If they weren't, then I'd have to get a different drummer. It was that way. As my career went along, after I had a couple of albums, then there was a little bit more to count on. You could project into the future a little bit. And that's when I started to pin down the guys that I'd like. In fact, two guys from Dave Mason's band were my band for about 8 months. I did the third album, Dream Speaker. It's the beginning of 73, and Dave, as he does occasionally, disappeared off into the cosmos, and the guys in the band were just sitting around twiddling their thumbs, and we'd open some concerts for Dave. And Rick Jagger, the drummer, called me and says, come on up to San Francisco, I want to jam, I'm going nuts. So I went up, and I was not particularly happy with my rhythm section at the time. And I had three concerts I was supposed to do in the Southern California area. He had a guitar player named Jim Krieger, who's a lead guitar player. I mean, he is definitely the lead guitar player with Dave Mason's band. Boy, can he play. And I said, come on, I've got three concerts. Come on down, we'll rehearse for 2 weeks, and you can do the shows. Well, that ended up making the whole one side of Dream Speaker over again because of the way the guys played. And then Dave put his trip back together again, and they went. Rick was Dave's drummer, so that's where he belonged.
priorities. Basically.
Oh, definitely. Plus, Dave can pay a lot more money. A lot more money.
I've always enjoyed Listen to the City, Dion Blue. What are some of your favorite songs that you've recorded?
Dion Blue. I like that a lot. I like, God, there's so many tunes. It's really, Duda. I like Duda. Todd really gets to stretch out on guitar. In fact, that's one of the things I liked about the live album. He really, really had a great solo on that. I'm just trying to think. Nights in White Satin. I really enjoyed doing that. God, there's a lot of tunes. There's about 12 an album, and there's 6 albums, so how many is that?
Do you listen to your music a lot?
No. When the album's done, I don't listen to it again.
What do you listen to? Do you listen to other groups a lot, or do you, once you're off the soundstage or off the stage, do you stop listening to music? Or?
Let me tell you what's in my suitcase. Soak Degrees album, Boss Gags. I've got a couple of Dan Fogelberg albums, Stevie Wonder. I've got Eagles. I've got McCartney and Doobie Brothers. That's what I listen to. And some Mozart, too.
A little bit of classical background. on the things that you actually write yourself, what influences them the most? Where do you get the ideas for them?
It's really difficult to pin down. It's usually not like I'll see a rock or something and say, wow, that's it. I've just been inspired. It's something I can't really pin down specifically. I don't know. It's the people I come in contact with. I'm usually most creative after a good concert.
Do you do most of your creative stuff in a jam session, or does it come to you and you write it down and then try it out? Or
Both ways. Now, up in Berkeley the other evening, we ended up putting a tune together in a dressing room when the guitar players were tuning. Somebody fell into something and we grabbed a tape recorder and taped it. So it can happen that way. Other times somebody will just bring in a melody line, or Todd will come in with a chord sheet, doesn't have a melody. We don't know what the rhythm's going to be like, and the drummer will put it together. It happens in a lot of different ways.
What kind of things do you look for in the audience when you're playing at the concert? What is it that the audience can do that will really make you feel good or make you change perhaps what you had planned for the evening?
If you're going to be there tonight, listen. This is tips from Tim on what to be in the audience.
Well, right. It's really funny. It's difficult to really pin down. I think one of the biggest thrills is when you play something soft, our music changes a lot. We can be just cooking along really loud, and all of a sudden it comes to a place where you can almost hear a pin drop. And when you drop down that soft, it's a band, and you can't hear anything in the audience. You get this incredible feeling of rapport. It's amazing. We played with Jefferson Starship at the Spectrum in Philadelphia. That's like the Forum in L.A. 22,000 people. Nobody knows who we are in Philadelphia because artists are regional, and that's not a good region for us so far. And 22,000, I thought everybody left. You know, I play with my eyes closed, and I got down to a soft portion, and I couldn't hear anything. And I opened my eyes, continuing to play, and I saw none of the cigarette ashes were moving, indicating that nobody was moving. And those kind of big rock shows, people are always milling around and, you know, up in the distance, no matter who. And I couldn't even believe it. I just about fell over. So it's something like that that'll really get you sometimes. And an audience really can help. I mean, there have been shows where sometimes on the road, it just you aren't able to get enough sleep sometimes, and you get up, and we're professionals, and I mean, you want to, even at your lowest ebb, even if you're sick, you want to be able to do what we would consider is a professional show. Then there are those shows that we all I think are musicians for that are just unbelievable. I think like the one we were here last time, where it's just you can't describe it. You're high for weeks afterward, and those come not all the time, which is good. And an audience can make that happen sometimes when you're down. I've walked out on the stage and just said, well, let's see, this will take about 2 hours, and and you get into it, and our audience won't even perceive that sometimes. They really don't. That's not their problem. They came to hear you play music, and so sometimes you have to concentrate mentally. And something will happen with the audience, and you'll get this incredible adrenaline rush. Turn around, and you see the whole band kind of like, oh.
Where do you see yourself on the success curve? Are you going up now, or have you hit your peak with the live album maybe and coming down, or where are you going?
Just starting.
Just starting.
Just starting.
Just starting. We haven't had a hit yet.
I was wondering, you mentioned playing with your eyes closed. Is there any particular reason for that, or just the lights, or for concentration? Or?
I think it's something that just kind of happened naturally, and I guess it just helps me concentrate. I'm not really distracted. Although lights, I could, through my eyelids, changing the lights really affect me during a show. Somebody does a really good light show, and it almost changes my moods as I'm playing. But I think that's it. I just am able to concentrate just a little bit better that way.
I understand you've had a really hectic weekend, and actually a very hectic week.
It's been hell, my God. I don't know if I can keep this pace up.
Where have you been? Where have you been doing your concerts lately?
Let's see. We were at University of California, Berkeley on Friday night, which is the first time we ever played up there. It was really fun. We had a really good time. And we've been off getting ready to do this first album for United Artists. Before that, we were out on the road for 6 or 7 weeks, everywhere in the country, just about. And what we're going to do from here, we go to Aspen. We'll play in Aspen for 5 days, which is going to really be nice. We're going to play the Holiday Inn, would you believe? Well, there's no place to play in Aspen. I mean, the Holiday Inn in Aspen is not like the Holiday Inn. You don't have a cocktail piano and all that stuff. They've turned into a concert hall. New Riders of the Purple Sage was up there a couple of weeks ago. Earl Scruggs' review was up there.
About how big is it? How many people?
I think it seats about 300. And it'll be nice. Ski all day, play all night.
Nice little intimate affair.
Right. And it's actually perfect because as soon as we get done with this, then we go into the studio.
What type of auditoriums or what type of places do you like to play in? The small, intimate places like this one you're going to be at Aspen or places like the Forum or the Freedom Hall or wherever it was in Philadelphia with the large audiences?
Well, I've only done one that big, and I loved it. I wouldn't want it as a steady diet. I like about 2,000 to 3,000 seat halls. I like that. I even like gyms. They don't bother me.
Well, Chumash is 2,400, so that should be right,
right up your alley. Right there. You mentioned before that you haven't had a hit yet. Do you want a big hit on the top 40 charts? Or?
Yeah, it would be fun.
Do you really?
Oh, for sure. I mean, all it would do is just broaden our audience, and I really don't think that we have to start writing in that direction. Dion Blue, off the fourth album in Madison, Wisconsin, a program director. People out there don't know program directors. They're the guys who pick the music you listen to. You will listen to this record, and this one you will not listen to. And at least in commercial radio, that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. And they, most of the time, consider that Tim Weisberg does not belong being played to an audience that listens to top 40 music, which is insanity. I mean, if Jefferson Starship's audience gets off on our music, then it stands to reason. And if they heard it on the radio, they probably wouldn't enjoy it also. In Madison, Wisconsin, we opened up for Tracy Nelson a couple of years ago, who's a native of there, and it was her audience. Program director on the top 40 station loved Dion Blue. Started playing it during what's called drive time. You guys know what that is. That's like about 4 to 6 o'clock when everybody's in their cars, and got incredible phone calls about it. Then they started putting it in the stores. We always sell well there. It's the University of Wisconsin. But then we started selling quadruple our normal record sales. And they checked to see who it was. You know what it was? It was 12 to 14-year-old girls buying the record. The only way they would have even known about the record was by listening to that top 40 station. So that just tells me that what we do, I think, appeals to that kind of an audience. In fact, on Friday night, I think it's KFRC in San Francisco, which is like KHJ in Los Angeles, which is they make the hits. If you get a record played on a station like that, that's it. And they have a public service show on the weekend, and the person that does that show wanted to come down and interview me. And I asked her about the audience, and the first thing she commented was, she said, gee, they were really young. And I said, you mean they listened to your station? She says, yeah. I said, gee, I wonder what would they say if the record was actually played. So I think it's possible that we can have one. And all it's really going to do is just make it easier for me to expand musically.
How many people can ask a question at once? Are you saying, in other words, that that you're not going to change anything, any of your styles, to get a hit on the top 40 charts?
Right.
You're just going to wait for the right time at the right place?
Well, I think it's just a matter. I think we've already had things that if it was played, we've played in front of so many top 40 audiences. We played shows with Elvin Bishop. That's a top 40 artist. If the audience likes the way we play, they came to see Elvin, then it just seems to me from my logic classes at good old Cal State Northridge that they probably would enjoy the music if it was played on their top 40 station. That's the station that turned them on to Elvin Bishop. So I really don't think that we have to follow some kind of a formula. We'll just continue to grow musically and expand. And I think that's all that's really necessary, not to really sit down and, you know, and try and come up with some specific type of thing.
The top 40 hit.
Right, yeah.
How are your album sales? You hear about Frampton selling 7 million copies. What does Tim Weisberg sell on a good record?
Oh, my God, 7 million. That's true, too. Do you know how much money that is? $6.98 times 7. Anyway, we've sold about 500,000 albums between the six of them, which is pretty good.
I thought you had 5.
Got 6. Let's see. It's the first one was Tim Weisberg, and then Hurt Wood Edge. I got to check this out myself. Dream Speaker, that's 3. Number 4.
Listen to the City was 5.
Yeah, it is 6.
6.
I'm losing track. If anybody ever told me 6 years ago that I'd be sitting around saying, I'm losing track of how many albums I did, I'd tell them they were crazy. So that's about how many we sold, which is not bad. The record company I was with was kind of low profile as far as their expectations for me. And I think that could have capitalized on some of the successful things that we did. That's one of the reasons why I switched. Somebody who just had a little more positive attitude, I guess. So we'll see. If I don't get a hit, it's my fault.
What about the plans for the future now? You said you recorded the live album, what, last July, was it?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So are you working on a new one now?
Oh, everything you'll hear tonight is a lot of the new material. There'll be some oldies but goodies. How can you have oldies but goodies if you haven't had a hit? But anyway, there will be some oldies but goodies. And then a lot of the new material.
We'll have our program director listen close tonight, see if he can pick your next hit.
Okay. So of course, there's no title, so.
Maybe we can name them for you. About how long before the next album's due out?
By April. It'll be out by April.
Now, how much work goes into an album like this?
Lots.
Do you just say, okay, we're going to have an album by April? What process do you go through?
Well, it really varies. We're in the process of checking out producers, and it's either going to be Mike Post, who did the Rockford Files, or Felix Pappalardi. And he's up doing Jesse Colin Young. And it's going to be one of those two. The other is trying to fit it in because you do need to work. On the road is the major source of income. I mean, that's how you put bread on the table as a musician. Until your records have gigantic sales, you never see a nickel off any of the albums. And you almost have to look at the calendar for the whole year and pick out the time. And then you have to get a producer schedule to coincide with yours. And then you try and get them, like we have to tell the agent, we're ready to start working again in April. So already now they're starting to put a tour together starting in April. Then if we get behind in February and March, we're in real trouble because commitments are made. So it's logistics as well as creativity sometimes. You just try and have people around you that insulate you from that as much as possible, but make sure that you don't drag your feet and, you know, run into these deadlines.
You talked about certain concerts that gave you real highs.
Mm-hmm.
Name a few of the places that... About how many concerts do you play a year?
Anywhere from 90 to 120, but I want it to be more.
Is that are you talking about one night stand or you
mm-hmm.
know one nights or
yeah.
two shows a night or?
Usually one show a night. Two shows a night is tough.
anything special lined up for tonight? Do you have some big thing that you kind of save and don't talk too much about, but then you spring it on the audience?
Yeah, tonight will probably be the first time that I'll come out with a glitter flute. And
and giant sunglasses.
And giant sunglasses, yeah. This is something new that I thought maybe would help me reach the public more. I thought it would be unique and different. And
at least blind the front row, right?
No, nothing really. Hopefully what I'll try and do is just play really great, and that'll be the surprise. You know, people like to go to concerts and have that happen. So
can't ask for much more than that.
Did you play any instruments besides the flute, or have you tried playing any instruments?
The other ones don't appeal to me. To play with, although I love, guitar and piano and things like that very much, oboe, English horn, but I just really haven't had a desire to play them myself.
What flutists do you admire? Like, there aren't a whole lot playing in rock bands. Are there any ones that stick out in your mind as models or people that you'll listen to?
Well, Ian Anderson, I like what he does a lot. I like the way where he places the flute in the context of all his music. Plus, he's a great showman, knows how to pace a show really well. So I like to listen to see what he does and the changes he's gone through from album to album. And I listen to Ron Paul, who's probably one of the foremost classical flute players, just as a flute player listening to a flute player, and Julius Baker, and my teacher, who I think plays better than either of those guys.
How much do you get involved in the technical end of your road shows? Do you adjust the sound system yourself until you like it? Or
no, you can't because it doesn't do you any good. I could sit out there. We could have the band play. I could do a sound check, get it mixed perfectly. The minute the audience comes in, the acoustics of the room completely change. So then I'd have to say, okay, I'm stopping the show and go out again. So it's just a waste of time. I just have to have people that I really think can do a good job and I can depend on because there's no way you can really tell. The room totally changes.
I noticed they were in Chumash at like noon this mm-hmm. afternoon. Does it really take them like 7 or 8 hours to set the room up and all the acoustics and everything?
Well, my road manager is really conservative. If you start at noon and you have any problems, you're all right. If you start at 4 in the afternoon and you have any problems, the show starts 3 hours late. That's the reason. Because there's always, no matter how diligent everybody is, you can't find the electrician and there's a fuse blown. So it takes 2 hours to find an electrician. And I'm not saying here that could be the problem or there could be another problem. Something could break. And this way you've got a little bit of time. And, it's nothing worse than making an audience wait. It's just, it's not right, especially when there's two shows. So that's the reason. Better to start real early than get caught.
I noticed your road crew travels around in the truck with all the equipment, and you always seem to tail along and come in and out. Did you like traveling on your own more than going with everybody else? Or?
Well, I normally go with the band. I mean, the band and the road crew are separated because, like tonight, the minute the show's over, they've got to drive. And it's really tough being on a road crew because you figure they got in here, well, last night, at least they got sleep last night. So they set up starting at noon. Then there's the whole concert all the way. They work during the concert. Right. Then they pack all the stuff up and then they start driving. And then the band, like I said, does travel separately from the road crew. In this particular instance, I want to do some things up in San Francisco and the guys don't enjoy the road that much. So they just went home after the show in Berkeley back to L.A., had a day off. And they'll do the same tomorrow. And I'm going to go a day early to Aspen because I like the mountains.
Let's take some skiing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if unless anybody has any other further questions, I think we've had an excellent interview with Tim Weisberg. It's lasted something like 25 minutes. Hope all the listening audience now has a better view of what the real Tim Weisberg is like. One last question. You were here 2 years ago, and our then, what was she, music director, classical music director, Cheryl Wright, asked you, does the real Tim Weisberg play in tennis shoes? Is that the real Tim Weisberg?
In tennis shoes?
In tennis
shoes. I live in tennis shoes. Occasionally I make a change. Occasionally I make a change, but very seldom.
But that's the real Tim Weisberg, tennis shoes.
Oh, yes.
Going back to your jock days.
Definitely, without a doubt.
Do you still race bicycles?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Do you ever play water polo anymore?
I never can find 14 guys to play.
Anyway, we want to thank you for listening to KCPR this evening. Got to remember what time it is. And we especially want to thank Tim Weisberg for coming down and being our guest today. Mark Reif, I shouldn't thank you. You're here. It's your place.
Thank you, Victor Bruce, for coming out of retirement.
And we'll have to do it again next time.
Next time you're down.
That's another threat. That's another threat.
We're going to hold you to it.
Oh, it's all right.
We have it all on tape.
Be my pleasure.
Jim Allen, once again, thank you for being here. This is KCPR San Luis Obispo, our exclusive for the night, Tim Weisberg. Hope you can make it to the concert. The first one starts at 7 o'clock. And who are the comedians that come on first, Mark?
Edmonds and Curley.
Edmonds and Curley.
Edmonds and Curley will be on before Tim Weisberg. Right. And then the second show starts at 10:30. So if you can't make it to the first, try and make it to the second. If not, at least go out and buy a record. Right, Tim?
Right.
Yes.
Remember, this is KCPR San Luis Obispo. Thank you for listening.
Central Coast. Yeah. I listen to
KCPR. Yep. You want me to do it again?
Yeah, if you want to just
write it on a piece of paper. I'll forget something.
Okay. I'm going to just write a couple. The tapes are all still going. So. Some of them came through the concert committee, and some of them.
Our music director
just called up and said, hey, Tim Weisberg's doing a concert. Sure, we'll send out a box.
Twisted a couple arms.
Yeah, some of the guys. Other than the president of the company, we're just super and really worked hard. Okay, let me try that. Ready?
Yeah, that's, you know, the main thing we want is just KCPR San Luis Obispo. You can make up anything you want.
Oh, I'm real bad at being creative like that, especially when I'm trying to remember where my suitcases are. Okay, I'll give it a try. Hi, this is Tim Weisberg, and when I'm in San Luis Obispo, I listen to KCPR.
Do we want to make that legal, Don?
Perfect.
What do I say?
Put a San Luis Obispo after the KCPR.
When I'm in San Luis Obispo, I listen to KCPR San Luis Obispo.
When I'm in town,
yeah.
I never listen to Jim Allen.
I watch KCPR TV.
Okay, I'll try it again. Hi, this is Tim Weisberg, and when I'm in town, I listen to KCPR San Luis Obispo.
Hey!
That gets you double the pay for the interview.
Oh, great.
Really?
I know. I have to take a check, right?
How about an album?
I hate flute music.
It's even autographed.
Well, we could probably dig something out of the collection. Let's see. What do we got? Bonzo Dog Band, Sparks.
The latest obscure record
Beautiful day.
Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim's first album.
You know, I played a prom where he came and came to
Tiny
for the
Tim.
Date.
The prom,
some girl wrote him and asked him. And was it a marina? Was it the
marina?
Yeah. This is when he was still famous. I don't know what high school is. Westchester High or something like that. And she was the date, and then he got up and played Tiptoe Through the Tulips. But he couldn't tell us what key he played it in. They wanted us to play with him.
Anyway, you want to go dig up your suitcases?
I think we got it. Right. Dave, is it just you and I?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then why don't you come with me, and we'll drive you back over there.
Successfully back, I guess, already.
Number we're calling right now. I think it's my number. Hey, Lucy.
Just legal IDs as well as non.
Right. KCPR. For this? Do you sign on your phone number for Collins?
Yeah, for Sunday by request.
Oh, you do by request?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just put the phone number. Say you want a record by request. Audie Murphy singing Who Shot Billy the Kid? Albums that you don't hear often. 91.3 FM. Do our interpretation of the Santa Ana wind.
What am I interviewing?
Them.
This is Curly interviewing Curly.
Yeah.
Don't tense up.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Do you want a level on me? Okay, we're going.
Do you have a level on anyone yet?
Yeah, we're
testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, now don't let this Curly scare you when he starts with any sounds.
Santa Ana wind.
That's out of the north.
Out of the south.
Where are you guys from, anyway?
Where are we from?
Yeah, where are you from?
None of your business.
Okay.
No, we're from. I'm from New York City. He's from Chicago, Illinois.
How'd you get together?
Well, Kodesh. Oddly enough. We, this morning, arrived in Los Angeles, and we were on Swift Airlines.
Just decided
and to I looked over at him. I said, Joey Edmonds, right?
That's it. And I said, Curly with a C. And
right. I said, that's correct. The first name is Tom. And he said, and just then the captain broke in and said, would you mind playing wings? So we went out, and he was the left wing. I was the right wing.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice flight. It's great to be here. By the way, we are speaking from KCPR 91.3 FM on your radio dial. And if you want to call in and ask some really nifty songs, something like maybe even that, well, anyway, you call 544-4640 and ask for one of the nice DJs or DJists.
Right, and if you'd like to talk to us, you'll have to dial long distance because
yes,
we will not be here for very long.
757-8417. So. But this is KCPR, and we're trying to get enough money to build this marvelous new 64-foot, incredibly neat antenna that's going to be able to send out this small but yet pervious radio beam to places all over the world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, from this small place, we'll be able to speak to thousands of people all over the world.
Where do you guys go now? Are you
we're
back to the state hospital? Dr. Myers says it's good for like the weekend, but Monday we have to go back and
we're on tour. This is our first date out here. Let me go do one of your sister schools down in Pomona.
Yeah,
and Redlands and a few other ones down there. We're just here for a week and then we go back to the other part of the country.
Campuses.
Yes.
Actually, fooling with the young students,
having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively, yes. Mm-hmm.
Depends.
Going in and getting to know them, getting to know us, kind of feel the crowd out. Thank you. That was really nice.
Have you guys done any albums yet?
We are in the process of one.
Yes.
For those of you who saw our act, you will know what a visual act it is.
And believe me, when the album is pressed and released, KCPR 91.3 FM will receive it, and you can call it 544-4640 and listen to an album of Edmonds and Curly. The time right now is 8:35. And supposed to be warm tomorrow, followed by a tornado. So,
what kind of? I didn't miss your act. What kind of humor are you guys?
It really sucks, quite frankly. There's
not,
no sense.
You know, you were the smart ones. Stayed home.
There was like about 100 people there. So, you know, and they'll be there for the second show. I think they closed the doors now and
locked them up.
Right. Yeah, there's a gal called Carrie. She's standing, looking very strange. Yeah. You know, right. So they won't
be a lot
of
puddles on the floor because they can't get out. But right. That'd be no problem.
But Weisberg's over there now blowing his brains out with his flute, so I'm sure that... by the way, he's got a nice album out, so KCPR can roll that for you right on these marvelous dials. 91.3 FM on your dial.
You guys, you're not following him around, are you? You're just
No.
Tim Weisberg?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, he's following us.
Yes.
Okay.
I knew him when he was a child. First thing he did when he was born, he went... They thought, how marvelous. And they turned him over. It was terrific.
Mm-hmm. You just go, don't you?
No, not really. I just shot up before I came over, so... Speaking of coming over. No, it's we got together about 7 years ago, and we've been playing college campuses all over the country, and this is actually the first time we really came to California to do a consistent group of campuses, like up and down the valley here.
Yes, the St. Andreas Fault, so to speak. We flew over today, and
it's very beautiful.
Glad you were flying, not walking.
Yes, but it is beautiful. It's a beautiful country. We end up, unfortunately, I think a lot of entertainers, I don't know about California, come and end up ending their concept of California in Los Angeles, period. And I think that's really a shame. So that's my statement.
There's Los Angeles, and then there's the rest of California.
Yeah, and, you know, for years I've always said, ick, California, really dumb.
But you came to Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo.
And I have the same sensation I did in Los Angeles. Yeah. So I think that I should tell people not to come here.
No.
It's really nice. Got off the plane. Down, mother. You know, it's like it's a really nice area.
Did you have to clean your shoes?
No, not yet.
I had no problem yet. No, so
we like barefoot. We go through the fields and things like that.
Speaking of fields, you know, that's going to fit, that marvelous new 64-foot antenna.
What would that be for, Tom?
That'll be for KCPR 91.3 FM on your FM dial here from Cali Poly-Tech.
Cali Poly-Tech?
Yes.
Or Cal Poly, either way.
I don't care. If you want a cracker, it's 544-4640. You call up and you say things like, hello, and I'd like to talk about an album I'd like to hear, and I'm sure that out of the 45s that they have here, they'll be able to snatch one up and stretch it for you.
No, they don't have records here. It's all not. Tape.
Yeah. Ooh, hey, listen. Right. Money's no object.
Real to real.
Real to real.
Real to real.
Did you guys play mainly back east and just getting out here, right?
Basically, well, except for California itself, once you get anywhere near Denver and west, there's just no colleges in terms of numbers. California's a little different, but so, you know, in the east, the Midwest, you can travel 40 miles and you got three colleges either way, just thousands of them. So we just never bothered coming out here unless we get a tour going, and this time we have a tour. So
came out to San Diego last, what was it, about 5 months ago?
Oh, in November.
November.
Yes.
And we did an NEC convention, and some of the schools representing this area were there, and they chose to take us and put us on a block booking pattern, you know, like use us for a week, different schools. So makes it nicer for us because we can come out and do a whole bunch of schools at one time and then leave, you know, and then come back the following year. And
one-nighters are still one-nighters, but when you only have to travel 100 miles rather than 1,000.
And I think getting the student coordinators and the people that run the union and stuff and getting them in the motels in really incredible compromising situations with Polaroids and mayonnaise, I really think that that has the ability to have us come back every year to these specific schools.
Now, can we cut that last part, please?
Now, here's some incredible pictures I think you'll be interested in.
Well, our audience can't see them. I wanted to ask.
Well, they could if they called 544-4640. That's KCPR. Coming right at you through the FCC 91.3 FM.
In San Luis Obispo.
You were about to ask.
Yeah, TV.
TV.
Have you done any?
We have seen one. We know it's a square box.
We've done
turn
it on.
Niles.
We've done a lot of television.
Yes. You have?
Sure.
Yes.
Johnny Carson, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas.
All the biggies.
Bill Hoffchild.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Hoffchild.
Mary Brubaker Show in Davenport, Iowa. Heavy
big show.
Biggie, oh, yeah. Listen, very heavy.
Biggie. They, too, are looking to build a tower. They're going to call it Sutro North.
Oh.
Something like that.
We're supposed to be being considered for cast on the new Laugh-In show, which is being put together by NBC.
For real.
Yeah. They're going to be doing, I think, six a year, six 1 hours.
We'll be talking to some of those people later on this week.
In L.A., man, you know, in the capital of the entire television industry, man, looking for Carmel. KCPR, Carmel. 913 FM.
It could be a Cal Poly radio.
That is actually Cal Poly public radio.
Could be, yeah.
Public radio is so neat because you obviously have people going, and what was your feeling when you saw that the dolomitic limestone was not the Magnus type?
I ran R-A-N, sir?
Yes.
Next question. Those who just tuned this in at the last moment are wondering what is going on.
This is KCPR.
Edmonds and Curly. We are Edmonds and Curly, aren't we?
Yes.
Where did you pick up that name?
Curly?
Yeah. It's an interesting name.
Well, actually, a sperm about 25 years ago started heading up a small river, and my father's name was Curly. It's a very, very marvelous Irish name.
It is.
Yes. Our family was originally from the Boston area. And if you're hip to American history, you know why we had to move west quickly. It was during a period of time that political science wasn't at such a ultimate as it is today. So instead of like a Nixon sitting in his house, my people went to jail.
But if someone was to walk in here right now, they would honestly think that you were Curly.
Oh, of course, yes. Edmonds has the curly hair, and Curly has the straight hair and the mustache.
Yes, and it makes check writing so ultimately simple.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
Where have you come from, and where?
We just.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, And now on KCPR 91.3 FM, the continuing story of Edmonds and Curly. Yes, in a small farm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, some 44 years ago, poor Joey Edmonds, known then as Putzer, was born and raised on a small farm, and a mere 80 miles away in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah, that's the Eastern Event. Was born a young man, Tom Curly, soon to be known as the Edmonds and Curly Comedy Team.
Soon?
Yes, soon. Well, 20 years later.
Yes, 20. We went to, what was it, State Teachers Normal School?
Oshkosh State Teachers College Normal School, right. Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Yes.
They had a radio station, too. Oddly enough, KCPR was originated there in Oshkosh.
This is an offshoot of.
Yes.
They were 91.2.
Yes, and AM, which really sucked. Yeah. FM is so
they
much
They weren't
better.
Public, were they?
Public? Pardon?
Were they public?
Well, they used to be, but you know, since the war, we've all been doing our part, haven't we? Yes? Of course.
Of course.
We met at college and...
What was the name of that college again?
That was now called Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin Oshkosh, which is about the size of Cal Poly, about 13,000, something like that.
Only you have dorms here. We just live out in tents.
Farmyards.
Yes, had an Indian problem. They used to keep coming through, wiping out our dorms.
What can we do this? What were your majors, just to see what craziness comes out of it?
Well, I have a lot of background.
All right, Purdue, here's your turn.
Thank
what
you.
What was your major?
I'm a registered nurse, and I then went into...
Registered for what?
Show them your white nylons.
I was going to go into anesthesia. Then I went into...
That's putting people asleep. Aren't we doing a marvelous job?
Then I went to physical education. Phys ed, whatever you say out here.
Did you guys graduate?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. What do you think? You're talking a bunch of dummies?
And we went to, no then we were
1, 2, 3, 14 chocolate cakes.
And Tom was in psychology and...
Makes sense.
Yes.
Really he helped. Then worked at a prison in Wisconsin for a couple of years.
And they let him out.
Yes, okay. They definitely did. Yes, they let me out. But not before I had a chance to call KCPR 91.3 FM 544-4640. Remember, it's you that helped the March of Dimes.
Why don't you give us one together and give us your names? KCPR.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Edmonds and Curly for...
KCPR 91.3 FM on your dial.
And this is the radio station to listen to if you live within 3 blocks. Also, here is the number you can call, 544-4640. Plumbing services by Roeder, Curly, and Edmonds Reuter.
Good.
Can we take two on that one, please? Okay, any other questions? For those of you just tuning in, we are freelancing, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yes, because we have to be back to do the rest of our concert with Tim Weisberg.
Yes, so those of you who missed it...
Too bad for you, and you'll be sorry, because, we just walked off with a lot of your money.
What have you guys... What have you heard on the laugh-in so far?
What have we heard?
Yeah, that what's going
to
happen?
They're looking for family right now to build up a group of similar people, I imagine.
Still possibility. Not definite.
Oh, no, nothing's definite, man. Even
they have no one definite.
Who knows what the offer is?
So we probably should not even bother.
Lawyers call us and tell us, what...
Possibility.
That they are saying they're interested in seeing what we do.
One of the problems we have
We're interested in seeing what the show's like. Because television today is pretty...
Rowan and Martin, it is.
No.
Are they...
It's George Slaughter.
Slaughter, who produced the original Laughing. I don't think it'll be Ronan Mark.
It's not. It's a comedy variety show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on the old Laughing.
Yeah.
So one of our problems is we do 150 concerts a year, which who knows how many we would have to get rid of to do full-time.
Yeah.
And we like the live performance much better than television.
But more money.
Well, look what happened to John Belushi and Chevy Chase and people like that, and Glenda that got grabbed up for Saturday Night Live. I mean, very talented people, but it's none of my business what they make on television. But I know what that program was putting down and what the staff was being paid. It was like really ridiculous for the talent and everything that was offered.
Somebody made a lot of money on that show.
Yeah.
Not the performers, but...
Which is all right, because performers, They get paid.
It's going to be that type of show.
I don't know if it's going to be like Saturday Night Live, but I will submit this. I believe it'll be... very similar to analogous to the old Laughing setup with the blackouts and the quick hits and everything. And they'll probably get themselves a good family group. Should be a very exciting show, seeing that they're doing 6 of them a year.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit interesting.
So it should be prime time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely will be.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it should be fun.
And we also are in production for something we wrote, which will be a special. It's based on New York City, the nightlife of New York City.
Sitcom?
No, it's called A Piece of the Apple. It's based on going around to the 5-6 different popular cabarets with the cabaret people that you really never hear about on television or outside of that small cabaret type of cafe society.
Is it going to be national?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it will be. Yeah. So that's going to be a thing that we're working on. In fact, we've got quite a bit of it done. We have to go back to the city soon to do the rest of it. And let's see what else we're doing.
Tell us about your album.
Our album?
Yeah.
Our album will be produced by ourselves, and we will bring it around to the little colleges and put them in the bookstore after we leave. And if people are interested enough to buy them, they can buy them.
Yeah. What, where's those who saw the act know what we're talking about. Those who didn't were just very visual. If you haven't seen what we've done, it'd be impossible to really know.
Say, you know what? You really need another ID?
Yeah, legal.
A legal ID, okay.
KCPR, San Luis Obispo. Right. Whatever you want before and after.
Okay. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Edmonds and Curley speaking to you from...
KCPR, San Luis Obispo. Oh, I'll say it again.
Yes, the city of what?
San Luis Obispo.
Right, and it's 91.3 FM on your radio dial.
Edmonds and Curley.
Psst, by the way, it's 544-4640 if you want to call in for some really groovy music put at you.
Should we do another one?
Sure.
Hi, this is Kay. This is Edmonds and Curley for KCPR in the city of
San Luis Obispo.
And that's 91.3 on your FM dial. Stay tuned because you're going to hear some marvelous music.
No funny stuff, though.
No funny stuff.
Nothing funny.
Nothing tasteless and stupid. Everything will have relevance because this is KCPR, 91.3 FM in San Luis
Obispo.
Yes. Is that a soup?
Soup? No. It's Campbell's.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I reckon, Pilgrim, like the Santa Ana winds, we might as well be blowing back out to where we came into.
Right out of here.
Hey, will you quit it, Flicker? Boy, give them an inch.